I mean, has anyone felt like the enemy has robbed you this last year? I mean, we could probably list things that we feel like we have lost and the enemy has taken. Well, the Lord wants to make that right. And so he wants to position us that we can receive that in the right way. And so I believe that there is going to be, that's a part of the reforming, is that retribution. Amen. Well, the word, I don't normally purpose to, okay, what's the word for a new year? I think maybe we probably should spend more time on what were the words last year and how did they go, and reflecting more than always projecting towards the future. But the way that I've received things, it's been not necessarily foretelling something or predicting something, but more an invitation from the Lord as to how to posture our heart. And I really appreciated Pastor Billy's word this morning, to be strong and courageous. That's a good exhortation. That's a good way to start a year, and not in defensive mode, but in offensive mode, because that's how the Lord wants us to start. And I'll have to say, too, because you'll probably already see up here, the word recalibrate. That's what I'm going to talk about. Even as we were in worship this morning, that last song, Bobby texted me, and he said, that last song is a recalibration song of being in the Lord's presence. And even as we were in that worship song, I saw the Lord, because we're going to be talking about timing and the timing and the hour that we're in. And I saw Jesus take a clock off the wall and set it, and he said, this is the hour of my holiness. And this really is going to be a year that I believe is going to be marked by the holiness of God. God contending for the sake of his name. That's why he calls his people to holiness. It's not to put a burden on us, but he's holy. And it's for the sake of his name and who he is and who he wants to be known as to the world, that he is holy. He's perfect love. And he's a perfect father who's good. And he's serious about showing that to the world. So, in this morning's message, I'm going to read the word that I wrote on my blog here about a week ago, and it's just a short kind of summation, and then I'm going to unpack it a little bit as to how this word can apply individually as a church and then even as a nation, and then we can kind of process together what the Lord has. And I'm praying. I did really good the first service without coughing, so I'm trusting I'm going to make it through here as well. So what does recalibrate mean? It means to change the way you do or think about something. To adjust the settings on a device that precisely measures, senses, or moves. Those are two different definitions. Well, change is ahead. Paradigms are shifting. Systems are being overhauled. Adjustment is required. New approaches to life and work are going to be necessary in order to receive the upgrades intended. It is time to recalibrate. This is not a prediction, but an invitation. It is a summons to us as individuals, as the church, and as a nation. As a clock strikes a new hour and a new era, it will set in motion a grace and ability to recalibrate and reset according to heaven's blueprint. That which has gone before will no longer work for the days ahead. With the changing of the guard comes massive adjustments that will create a domino effect, both in the spirit and in the natural. Recalibration will be needed in order to synchronize with the Holy Spirit's work. With every time change, a watch needs to be reset. So now must the people of God be on watch for that which is coming. A new hour is emerging. It's time to recalibrate for the reformation to come. I love that word reformation, because it really is it's a reforming. And this is God's heart. He's reforming us as his people. He's reforming us individually as the body of Christ, and yes, even as nations. And this picture of a watch came to mind because if you see the picture of a watch inside, all these tiny little mechanisms that all have to be perfectly balanced in order to tell the right time and to keep working. And this is why I like the word synchronization. And this is a picture of how we need to be synced with the Holy Spirit. It's a fine-tuning of our heart. It's a fine-tuning of our senses, our ability to be in tune with the timing of the Lord. And this is going to be really important. And we're going to look at this in numerous different ways of what it means to be in time with the Lord, in the right season. And to know that that's going to require just some fine-tuning. And when you need to be fine-tuned, it means you need to slow down a little bit, need to stop a little bit. And this is going to be really important because I've been talking in the last couple of months about stress. This is something the Lord's been challenging me on. And so many people that I see, we're stressed out. You know, take the things that are happening in the nation alone, it can cause a lot of stress. Then you add, you know, physical problems, sickness, disease, family issues, financial, economic problems. There's a lot of stress. And we need to learn how to overcome that, not just to cope. God wants us to come from a place of rest, not stress. Because it's only when you're at a place of rest that you can even hear rightly, that you can perceive rightly. When you're stressed out, when you're worried, you're not in sync with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to miss the timing of the Lord. And so this is going to be really important to know, are we calibrated to the timing of the Lord? And the scripture here is John 4, 23 and 24. It says, but the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. It's really important that these two go together, the spirit and truth. In the last number of years, we have learned, just even on the national front, starting with COVID, and then you look at the political process and so many things that are coming out, even in big pharma, in education, so many fields where truths are coming out of things that we thought we knew what was going on, and we realize that's not what's going on. And there's been this quest for what's really true. What can we count on anymore? And as Christians, thank God we have the spirit of truth within us, because it's only by the spirit that we can really know what is true. And truth does set us free. It will set us free on every count. And so these two have to go together. John 16, 13 through 15 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, I included that scripture because I believe that this coming year, it will be a time of retribution and the Father really giving back much of what the enemy has stolen. I mean, has anyone felt like the enemy has robbed you this last year? I mean, we could probably list things that we feel like we have lost and the enemy has taken. Well, the Lord wants to make that right. And so he wants to position us that we can receive that in the right way. And so I believe that there is going to be, that's a part of the reforming, is that retribution. And, you know, even with, obviously, it can start on the national scale. We've got an inauguration happening in a couple of weeks as we continue to pray through that, because the enemy doesn't want that to happen. You know, in a practical sense, we're praying that much can be restored, even in this nation. Much can be given back in so many different ways. And so this is something to continue to pray for. So the Lord is inviting us then, okay, in order for us to receive these things, we've got to do some recalibration. And in the word that I read, there was a statement about it being a domino effect. Maybe you've heard it before, that as the church goes, so goes the nation. There's a lot of truth to that. You know, we've had a major leadership crisis, you know, in the political sphere of just leaders that are not good leaders at all. Well, we're going through the same thing as the church, as we're going through a sanctification process, you know, with many leaders. This is something that the Lord is calling to the body of Christ. Listen, I'm looking to you, Ecclesia. You're the ones that are supposed to model you know, what good leadership looks like, what the kingdom can look like. And so even in looking at the church, it's still going to go back to us individually. We have to do, you know, those things as an individual first. We have to change our hearts and our minds and be calibrated rightly so that we can together then really reflect what God has in mind. So this is the progression that we're going to look at, is first individually, then as a church, and then as a nation. So individually, and this is really where I want to spend the majority of the time, because it starts with you and I. And it, again, as we start this new year, there is a new grace, I believe. You know, his mercies are new every morning. God always loves to give us fresh starts. But I believe there is something about a new year that gives us an opportunity to reflect on what's gone before, but to reposition ourselves. So the scripture that I felt led in this is Galatians 2:20. There was a lot in Galatians here. And this says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I just really felt like this was something the Lord wanted to remind us of as believers in Christ, as we see everything that's happening in our culture and in the world, of the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Because to demonstrate the life of Christ, we have to be crucified with him. It's not about us. Bottom line, it is about him. That's what we sang about. It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about us. And we need to revisit that, because sometimes when we get in a routine of life, after a while we can begin to think it's all around our goals, our ambitions, even our calling. And the Lord has to remind us, wait a minute, it's about Jesus. And it's about what he's about. We're about the Father's business. And so we have to remember who we are, that we are crucified. It's he who lives within us. And the way to evaluate this just personally is just to ask yourself, you know, what motivates you in what you do? What compels you to do what you do? Because if we're going to talk about recalibrating and even coming from a place of rest, many times it's not what we do that needs to drastically change, but it's how we do it. Sometimes it can be the slightest adjustment in our paradigm or our perspective that can actually take us from that place of drivenness and of stress into a place of rest. And this is something that I've been learning that I wanted to share with you, because I feel like, especially as Christians and so many here and so many that I know, believers that want so much, we want to do God's will, we do have a call, we sense, you know, him drawing us into something, but we can tend to feel so responsible for making it all happen. And we put this burden on ourselves, and we cause stress, you know, it's self-inflicted. and the Lord wants to free us from that. That again, he's reminding us, listen, it's not about you, it's about me. And so the Lord led me a couple of weeks ago on YouTube to this video interview that really impacted me, and I recently shared a little bit on my social media about this. It was an interview between Jordan Peterson and Dallas Jenkins. Jordan Peterson is a well-known psychologist who's been on a faith journey the last number of years. He's really intellectual, but he's very personal, and a lot of people follow him. And he was interviewing Dallas Jenkins, and Dallas Jenkins is the creator, the writer of The Chosen, the series. Now, I need to qualify, because I don't want you to miss what I'm going to share if you've got a concern, because I know there's some Christians that, you know, they don't appreciate The Chosen because it's not biblical. Let me just say for me, it's an adaptation, and he says it's a TV show, okay, and they take creative license. I don't agree with all the ways in which some of the theology might come across, but I love the heart behind it. And that's what I perceive in Dallas, and even Jonathan Romy, I've said before, their heart is for the Lord. And so I was very fascinated to listen to what he had to say. And the Lord really used this interview to get my attention. Because in this interview, Dallas was telling the story of what happened before The Chosen even... Now, because The Chosen has become a worldwide phenomenon. I mean, it's shown all over the world, and it's impacted millions of people. And evidently, before that happened, Dallas had always been a storyteller. He'd been a filmmaker, and he'd been working on a lot of projects. But his heart was to do faith-based films, but at a Hollywood standard with excellence. And so he had put all this time and money and resources into this film. He had spent 2 years making this film that he really felt was going to, it was finally going to get even Hollywood's attention to show that, you know, as Christians, we have something to offer. And he felt like God was in it. And basically on the night of its release, you know, they were watching for the numbers to come back in because evidently when you do that, it's you can tell, I guess, by the stats whether or not it's going to do well or not. Well, within a few hours of him releasing this big movie that he had spent 2 years on, he found out that it was becoming a flop. It wasn't doing well at all. And it really threw him because he thought that he was doing what God wanted him to do. He felt like he had seen the Lord leading in many of the little things throughout the process. And so he began to question, and the numbers kept coming in, and they just did not look good. Well, a couple hours into this, his wife came to him and said, Dallas, I don't know why, but I really feel the Lord telling us that we need to look at the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 in the Gospels. She said, I don't know why, but I just really feel like he says there's something there that he wants to teach us in this moment. So they stop and they go and they read this story about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And at that moment, Dallas said the thing that he realized was that Jesus actually set the table for a miracle because he's the one that led them into the wilderness. He's the one that preached for a few days and caused this crisis where they needed to be fed. And he could have miraculously just provided the food himself. He could have snapped his fingers and it all been there. But instead, he chose to use the disciples and use 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so Dallas took from that that, okay, Jesus set them up for a miracle. Maybe that's what's happening here. Maybe this thing is actually going to turn around in the next 24 hours, and it's going to be known to be a miracle. Well, it didn't happen. The numbers kept getting worse. And so he was really disheartened. So he goes to his computer, and all night he stays up, and he's writing out basically all the mistakes that he made and how he's going to learn from this. Because he says that he analyzes things, and he took it upon himself. Okay, Lord, if I missed you in any way, then I want to get it right. So he was writing this up until 4 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden on his computer screen, up pops this message on Facebook Messenger from someone that he barely knew. And it's just this message, not even hello or hi, how are you, but just a message that says, just remember, it's not your responsibility to feed the 5,000, just to provide the loaves and fishes. He was shocked because he didn't even know this person. And that person had no idea what he and his wife had just looked at in the scripture. So he responds back like, why did you say this? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing? And he found out later that this person was actually in a different place in the world, a different time zone, who had heard about the movie and felt like the Lord really pressed it on his heart that he needed to send this message. And he said he was really hesitant to because he doesn't know Dallas, and he thought, you know, man, this is kind of taking a risk. Dallas knew the Lord was speaking. There was no question. That was not a coincidence. And in that moment, what he heard from the Lord was, Dallas, it's not your responsibility to determine the reach, to put all this effort towards who you think you're going to impress or how much money this might generate or how much buzz it might get. I never called you to that. You're just responsible for the loaves and fishes that I give you. And he said that totally changed him in that moment, his whole paradigm of what he was doing, how he was doing it. He knew he was called. He was a storyteller. But he realized that he had expended all of this energy in a direction that the Lord never called him. And he was telling Jordan Peterson how free he felt when this revelation came. And Jordan Peterson suggested, so it's almost like you were a puppet on a string, but the strings were finally cut and you were free. And Dallas responded. He said, no, the strings weren't cut. The audience was removed. He said, I want to stay connected to the Lord and to do what he wants, but I was no longer driven by the crowd. I'm not going to be driven by what the crowd thinks. I'm not going to be concerned with the fear of man, what they might think of me. Am I doing a good job? Am I, you know, making enough money on this? Am I getting Hollywood's attention? He said, that all went away. I serve the audience of one. And when he was sharing that, I knew the Lord wanted me to hear that because I could really relate as a visionary leader, as a creative person, and one who tends to fall into the same mode of ending up performing for people. Out of a desire to please the Lord, to do well, to help people, it's so easy to start doing things and performing. And even as I was going through this process, the Lord reminded me, in the last number of weeks, I've been having these dreams where I'm in these settings and I'm performing in front of people and I'm really self-conscious and I'm embarrassed. And so I knew the Lord was getting my attention. And it was an invitation to me. One, you need to recalibrate some things. You need to pull back here and reassess. It's not what you're doing, but how you're doing it to relieve some of this stress that you've put on yourself. Now, I don't know if anyone can relate to any of that in terms of how you might be wired. But it is an invitation to consider whatever it is that you feel called to. We need to reassess that. Yes, Lord, have you called me to this? But then to go a step further, Lord, how do you want me to do this in a way that's pleasing to you, that it's not about me, and that I'm only doing the measure that you've called me to do, the loaves and the fishes? And you don't be concerned about the results. What might happen? What if? And that's going to be something that we need to always update. Because this essence of timing is really important, of knowing the timing of the Lord. And in terms of how this looks individually, I would say a recalibration with the rhythm of the Spirit. There is a rhythm of the Spirit in our lives. A timing of work, of rest, relationship, solitude. There's a rhythm and a flow of the Spirit that the Lord wants us to learn. But we have to always be mindful of that. You can't go on automatic pilot with the Lord. You can't go on automatic pilot. You always have to be in tune. I actually used the illustration in first service as a musician on the worship team. Sometimes what happens is every song that we do, if you look at the song sheet, there's a metronome marking. A metronome is a timing. It's a rhythm. And every song is kind of created with a standard rhythm, tempo, that song goes in. And if you hear it on a big recording somewhere, it's going to be at that tempo. So the worship team will set that tempo, but sometimes we find that, you know what, we don't have those 10 instruments and those 6 vocalists and all the bells and whistles to go in to make it sound wonderful. We've got a small team, and that tempo just doesn't flow right, so we've got to speed it up a little bit. See, we're having to adjust by the rhythm of the Spirit, of finding what seems to work, that fine-tuning to know what works in that season, in that hour. And so again, individually, do we know the timing of the Holy Spirit, the hour that we are in, the season that we are in, not only our calling, but how we walk that out and what that looks like, and to be able to make those little adjustments along the way that sometimes can make all the difference. I mean, for me, just one practical thing that I've did in coming into this new year is for the last 2 years on my website, I've offered a weekly newsletter, Wanda's weekly newsletter, to post out. And I've realized what that did is it put me in this, I have to do something every week. It obligated me. Now I'm the one that set that up. And the Lord said, I never told you you had to do a weekly newsletter. It's only causing you stress. And I'm thinking, but I'm gonna let my followers down. He said, let it go. Oh, that was huge for me. Then I could say, you know what? I'm not gonna do it weekly. I'm just gonna do it as the Lord leads. Oh, to me, that's fun. And it's amazing that when you get to that place of rest, it happens so many times. I say, okay, I'm not gonna do it. I get in this place of rest, and all of a sudden, all this inspiration comes. You know, what I was trying to do before, by striving and by obligation, you remove that, and then all of a sudden there's this flow of the Spirit. I like living that way. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather live by that flow of the Spirit. So again, it's this reassessment to recalibrate our hearts to what the Holy Spirit has in mind. So let's look at the church. I'm not going to spend as much time on the church and the nation, but we've got to look at these things. Because as the body of Christ, we too are going through a recalibration. And the scripture again from Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, I already alluded to this even personally. You know, what motivates us and compels us? Are we afraid of what other people think? Or are we purposing to please the Lord? And this is being tested in the body of Christ. And especially if you're online with what's happening in the larger church in this nation, we are going through a lot of sanctification. There's been a lot of exposures of some major online, well-known ministers that are, being exposed for some immorality from even illegal activities. That's really causing a lot of concern, and it's causing a lot of division even in the body of Christ. Now, I personally think that these things have probably been going on for decades. It's just that now that we have the internet, we have access to information, and so we find out about it. And as messy as that is, I believe the Lord is using it at the same time. And I know not everybody, is aware of all that's going on. Those that are online and that see it, it can be very disconcerting because there's obviously when you're on these social media platforms, there's a lot of gossip, a lot of hearsay. I mean, anybody can throw out their opinion. But as believers in Christ, as Spirit-filled believers in Christ, we have the Spirit of truth in us. And so it is an invitation for us to utilize that gift of the Spirit within us and to really rightly discern what is true. How can we pray rightly? How can we be, a mediator? How can we stand for the righteousness and holiness of God? Because this is really what the Lord's doing. He is cleaning up the church. There are, just as we found in the government realm, there are leaders within the body of Christ that, and it's not even that they're all terrible people, it's just they have fallen below the standard of righteousness and holiness. And God is calling us up again. This is an hour of holiness. You can't fudge on this. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes, but when you make mistakes, take account for them. Because that's what we're supposed to be modeling as good leaders. And so it's going to be hard to walk through this, but yet we must. Because if we're going to see what God has in mind, and we want to be healthy, and we want to see the nation come back to the Lord, then it is up to us. And so part of this recalibration I see in a couple of ways within the body of Christ, obviously our whole perception of what a godly leader even looks like, what a godly church looks like. What's the difference between a church or the body of Christ, between a ministry, between a business? I mean, there's so many different models now that we've seen. And, just to clarify, thank God, there are many, many churches with good leaders, with godly pastors, with good shepherds that are doing well. They're pleasing the Lord. They're just not in the news. the ones that are in the news are the big ones. And probably rightly so, because they impact so many people. And so that we have to take account for that. And so the ways in which, we've kind of fallen into this online Christianity, the Lord is really calling us back to a different standard. And so we have to recalibrate how we do church, how we view leadership, and get back to the biblical standard for what it means to be a true shepherd and a true leader that is a servant of the Lord. It's really servant leadership. That's what the Lord keeps reminding me of. I'm going to actually be sharing soon on YouTube about a dream the Lord gave me a couple years ago that was highlighting the need for servant leadership and not just leaders in suits, that are trying to impress the cameras. So God's bringing us back. Now, if we want to just make it here very practical for us as a house here at Crossroads, because I was talking about more the general church. But there's some recalibration, because I was talking to Bobby about this. How do you think crossroads, might be recalibrating some things in 2025. And there were a couple of areas that we saw where the Holy Spirit really is, it's upgrading. When I see recalibrating, it's not because we've had problems. He's taking us from glory to glory, right? So one of the areas is in healing. With our healing training that we did last fall, you know, we're getting upgraded, we're getting recalibrated in how we approach healing, how we pray for healing, which has been really good for us. We've been growing and understanding, and I'm believing we're going to see much more fruit because of it. Another area is in our worship ministry. We'd been praying for a while, you know, for the Lord to bring more musicians to the team, and he has. And so we've gotten an influx of some new folks. So there's a recalibration, a resetting of what that looks like with the people that we have, with the services. And I'd invite you to be praying with us about that, because this is a frontline ministry at Crossroads, is our worship. And we have an opportunity to really do some amazing things, but it's going to take some recalibration. And then another area that pastors saw was how many young families. I mean, we're seeing the next generation. We're getting a lot of babies, okay? The nursery is getting filled up. And just realizing how new parents, we want to equip and empower them and be very intentional with that as we bring on another generation, you know, into the house, that we can give the kinds of tools that we need. So we're looking to recalibrate some of that. And then another area that I'm hoping we might recalibrate is that we might, this year would be the year that we find a new, we're hoping for a new facility, okay, a new building. We'd kind of shifted from just land, but actually we would prefer to have a building, if something to renovate or whatever, to get us there sooner. That would definitely take some recalibration, so we're all going to keep praying for that. So those are just some things in terms of the church, of recalibrating in this hour that we're in. So lastly, as a nation, there's some recalibration. And the scripture that I had for this was Galatians 3, 2 and 3. It says, "Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" Now, before I apply this to the nation, this actually applies very well, personally. Kind of building on what I've already said about this fine-tuning of our hearts and the sense of being called, because this was something the Lord invited me to reflect on. Because I know my calling, I know what the Holy Spirit put in my heart and what he initiated. But you know, at any point along the way, when you are responding to a calling of the Lord, it's so easy for our flesh to get involved, to kind of help God out a little bit. You know, we feel like things might be a little slow, or we might want to do this instead of that. And it's just, and then other people's perceptions and what we think, it's just so easy. Yeah, I know God called me, but I'm going to help this thing along. And so I had to reflect on that in my own life here in the last couple of weeks of, wait a minute, this has to always be led by the Spirit. Again, so much of this is self-inflicted. It's not even the devil. It's just us. And so many times it's our good intentions, you know, because we actually think God needs help. We're the ones that need help to stay in that place where we'll allow, okay, Holy Spirit, you lead me. I want to be in your rhythm. I'm not getting ahead. I'm not falling behind. I'm staying in step with the Spirit. So the reason I put this in with the nation is, you know, in the last couple of years, we've had a lot of crises in the nation. I mean, starting with the 2020 election and then COVID, and I mean, so many things that have happened. Well, it forced the church to pray like we've never prayed before. And we've seen some miracles. We've known that it's only by the Spirit of God, because as it's become very evident how much we have a spiritual adversary that has been working across the globe to shut down, you know, the kingdom of God, it has certainly spurred on the church, you know, to realize this has to be God. God has to do it. We're helpless without him. But the caution is, with an inauguration around the corner, at least in this nation, with new leadership, a changing of the guard, it'd be very easy to say, well, at least if we get him, you know, get him in the White House, we can kind of relax a little bit. And the Lord's saying, don't you dare. No. We've got to continue to pray, because our hope is not in a man. It's not in an administration or people. It is in the Lord. And the reason that these good things have been happening is because Christians because the church has finally stepped up, spoken up, and taken their place. But we've only just begun. And this is part of the recalibration that we're going to have to continue in the next couple of years, because up until a couple of years ago, a majority of the evangelical church did not want to talk about politics, did not want to talk about government. Now, I will say those are two different things, politics and government. I don't like talking politics either. But we've got to talk about our government, about our culture, because that the kingdom works through all. And we can't just isolate ourselves. And so this is something that we're going to have to learn how to recalibrate, in how the church engages in the public square. We've gotten started, and we've seen so many breakthroughs in that. But we can't now, what was started by the Spirit, we can't just now say, okay, we've got some good people in office, let's write it out. Because we're talking about cultural mindsets that have to shift. And they have to be embedded. We're breaking some ground. There's been some strongholds that have been torn down. But if you know anything about deliverance, and we've said it before, it's not just a matter of getting delivered, but you've got to reestablish that place in the Lord to keep that deliverance. So that's really the work that's ahead, is these breakthroughs now that we've found, because there was, in this last election, there was a collective vote, literally. I mean, it was a vote that had impact in the Spirit. The people spoke. And because of that, okay, now the Lord's going to be able to start doing some things, but he's still looking to the body of Christ. He's still looking to believers. To, okay, let's keep this thing going, and let's teach our next generation. Let's train up our young. Let's bring in another generation that has a new mindset, that's been recalibrated rightly. Because the enemy has been trying to calibrate everything according to a different clock, a different rhythm, a different frequency, literally. And so this is all a part of the recalibration back to what the Lord always intended. And so this is on our watch. This is our invitation. And this is why, even in this house, we take so seriously bringing up the next generation and training and teaching and making sure that, things are really there. They say that you know that you've taught your children. They caught what you taught them when their children are doing the same thing. It's that third generation that really proves it. So that's the goal, okay, in bringing up the next generation. And just to make this practical in terms of, the recalibration of these things and how the church impacts the nation, the Lord gave some ideas in terms of our conversation. Because, it's often said, when you get together at family celebrations, don't talk religion and don't talk politics. Well, I want to talk about Jesus. I think that's okay, to talk about that. And let's not talk about politics, but let me just give you some practical tips, okay? First of all, instead of talking about political parties, just talk about issues. What are the issues that God has put on your heart that go back to the Word of God? That talk about morality, that talk about righteousness, that talk about love and compassion, whatever it is. Let's talk about what does the Bible say about this? You don't even have to talk about a party. I think we've all learned that no party is perfect by far. So let's, don't shy away from those conversations, but let's call each other up. Do we know what the Word of God says about some of these issues? Secondly, is that we don't have to talk about politicians or personalities. How about if we talk about just what does a good leader look like? Let's not get caught up in whether or not, because it's personalities and preferences will always be there. But even if there's a leader that's not a born-again Christian, because that's going to be our default, we would prefer for all of our elected officials to be a born-again Christian. That would be wonderful. But even if they aren't, are they moral? Are they honest? Do they have integrity? Are they consistent? What does good leadership look like? I mean, if we would have even looked at that, maybe we wouldn't have gotten in the mess that we've found ourselves in, in past years. So do it again, and it goes back to Scripture. What does a moral person look like? The heart of an individual makes a huge difference. And so those things I would hope that we could talk about. And the different issues that come up that we would even call conspiracy theories, that just get a smile or a laugh or even mockery. We're in a time where a lot of things are being questioned. But you know what? That's okay. And it's probably a good thing. Any teacher in a classroom will tell you they welcome questions. And if we are questioning things with a sincere desire, I just want to know what's true, then we should encourage people questioning. Now, the reality about it is, and I thought about this the other day, as we've seen in many of the conspiracy theories or things that are put forward, it's like a moving target. It's like, you know, you hear one thing one week, and the next week it's something different, or now it's changed, and we're just, it's an ongoing revelation about, wait a minute, what's really going on? And so, for me, because I've always been one that I just want to know the answer, and then I'm going to tell you the answer, and we're going to be good. And the Lord's just cautioned me, I don't have to feel compelled to just, you know, spew out the information, but to ask questions. And I think this is especially important for this next generation because they are very skeptical. Because of everything that's happened, they're very skeptical. They don't trust anything. And if you try to tell them what to do, they won't receive it. But if you know the right question to ask, see, that stirs something then. Well, I don't know why I said that. Well, I don't know where that information came from. Well, I don't know why I think that. So the more that we can ask, okay, Lord, what are the questions that I can ask that will actually compel someone else to go away from this conversation scratching their head? So all of these things, in the scripture that comes to mind, Proverbs 25:2, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. So a lot of things that the Lord, you know, it even says in Corinthians, the Lord will hide certain things for times. But there will come a time where now the revelation is to be known. This is what the Apostle Paul was speaking about. In, I think it's Corinthians when he talks about this, that, you know, in their generation, they were now revealing things that had not been shown to the generations before. So again, it's a new hour. It's a new season. What is the Lord wanting to reveal now? And can we receive that, learn how to process it, learn how to even ask the right questions to dig deeper, because he wants us to know. So in all of this, in terms of the recalibration, of course, as I said, there's a domino effect. But it always starts individually. So let's go back there. This is how we're going to end. Is just to take the time as you start, you know, 2025, and maybe you already have, of reflecting, okay, Lord, what am I called to in this hour? And, you know, you don't have to have a five-year plan. I mean, if you do, that's great. But he may just want to tell you what the next hour looks like, what the next day looks like. And you can say, you know, that's okay. And to purpose that rather than having a well-laid-out plan that you can count on, because that's how some of us operate, the Lord would rather us be so in tune with him that we can simply walk with him, synchronize our steps with him, because he wants to be a part of every step. Now, he gives us room to explore, and he loves that. But I think in some ways, I just told someone during the break, the Lord's keeping us on a short leash right now because he's wanting to draw us close because there's so much change that's coming. The only way for us to walk through the changes, we're going to have to be very close to him. Because our tendency will be to default back to what we once knew, and that no longer applies. And so that's why we recalibrate, why we take that time to reset on a daily basis, to assess, you know, is our body at rest? I mean, this is really why I think a lot of this sickness is coming to you. And I'll confess, for Bobby and I know for me, I was worn down. That's why I got hit so bad. My immunity was down. I knew it. I'd been pushing. And that often happens with a lot of us during the holidays. And so it's, again, an invitation. Okay, what is going to be our pace? Okay, for the new year, that's going to be pleasing to the Lord, that's going to produce fruit, and that will keep us close to him. I hope that's your heart as well. Father, we just thank you for this new hour, where we thank you for a new year. We thank you for the opportunities that you give us to recalibrate, to reset. And Lord, I just pray that those who are here this morning, those who are watching online, that Lord, there would be a grace received even now to recalibrate for this coming year, to recalibrate for this hour. Father, I pray that you would open eyes to see the hour. Yes, as a nation, yes, as a church, but right now, more specifically, as individuals. I pray that you would open each person's heart to see the time and the season that you have them in, what it is you have called them to, and that, Lord, there would be a drawing by your Spirit to be coming from a place of rest. Lord, I pray for any who have been stressed, who are weary from the last year. And Lord, I just release that a peace and a rest. For some, even an ability to unhook, to take a break, to even stop. Lord, remind us, you don't really need any one of us. You choose us, but we're not irreplaceable. So Father, I pray for that clarity for each one to hear your heart, your voice to them. And I just speak refreshment. Lord, as different ones take that time to stop and to listen, I pray for a refreshment of your Spirit, even a revisiting. Lord, going back to the maybe even the original call to reassess how they're doing that. Father, I pray that in any way that we have allowed our flesh to step in, Lord, forgive us. May we lay our lives down, surrender fully to you, and allow you to do that work through us, Lord. We're just vessels. We're just conduits. And so, Lord, I just speak that rest, that healing grace, healing spirit, soul, mind, and body. Lord, that we would be well as we head into a new year. That we would be those conduits that you can use, that can reflect the fullness of who you are. And Lord, I also saw, actually in the first service, and I'll share it again here, this keeping in step by the Holy Spirit. I see this linking of arms because in some of the calls, it requires us to walk with others. I mean, no call of the Lord is a solo call. If he's called you to something, it's always going to require someone else walking with you. And in order to fulfill that call, it means that everyone needs to be in sync. And just one of those people, you know, going ahead or falling behind, it can get the whole thing out of sync. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us a love for one another and give us a sensitivity to who those people are that you've called us to link arms with in this season. That we would know who we are linking arms with and that we can be in sync together. And you know, for some that means you may even need to stop to help a brother or sister. You may think you're fine, but you know what? Sometimes a brother or sister needs some help and you got to work together. Lord, give us that heart for one another, that sensitivity to care for one another, that we could be in step with you to fulfill what you've called us to do together corporately as your family. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this nation. And Lord, we speak blessing upon your plans, your purposes that will prevail over any attempt of the enemy to circumvent that, Lord. We thank you that you have prepared us for this hour. And so keep us in tune, Lord. Keep us on watch that we might stay in that place of faith, being strong and courageous in faith, knowing that you are more than able. You will fulfill your word. You will complete what you started. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you that you invite us to be a part of that. And so again, we thank you for what you have sown into us this morning. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would continue to unpack it, unfold it within the coming days, that it would bring life and blessing and much fruit to your glory. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen.